Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. 2020 is upon us, whether we want to or not, but here we go. So welcome, everybody. Regardless of the reason you're here this morning or how long you've been here, we are so glad that you're here to participate in worship in our worshiping community. As always, there is a tremendous amount of information available to you in your bulletin, in your recently received Harbinger, which is out on the information rack as well, and our GPC website. So please avail yourself of those resources to find out what's going on, because we are, as always, a very active and busy worshiping community. During the time of our offering this morning, if you would pass the hospitality register, the little notepad in the pews, sign your name, any comments you have, feel free to jot those down. And again, if there's anybody next to you that you don't know them by name, take a look at the hospitality register at some point in time. Introduce yourself to let everybody know who you are, because this is one of the ways we get to know each other. And this morning, as always, there is coffee, tea, beverages, and cookies and conversation in the fellowship hall. But also, there's going to be another opportunity for you this morning, which you'll hear about in just a second. So I guess we will start with that. So, Kathy, do you want to let the folks know?
Good morning. The good news, maybe bad news, is that Christmas is over, at least as of tomorrow. What that means for us is all these trimmings need to come down. So if you want to kill a few minutes after worship, please hang around and you can help us declutter the sanctuary. It shouldn't take long, so with many hands, it'll go pretty quickly. Thanks for the help.
Good morning. Just a reminder that the Blue Mountain Coffee House tickets are available after worship in the Fellowship Hall. And there's also a baked goods and talent sign-up sheet on the kiosk.
And there is also the Jamaican donation board to help fund our trip's activities. Thank you for all the support, and we hope to see you at the coffee house this Saturday.
Those are all the folks that signed up for announcements this morning. Was there anybody else that had anything to share at this time? Okay. We have back this morning, as our guest pastor, preacher, Reverend Harry Hines. Harry's in the back and eventually make his way forward. Harry, as you know, has been an active participant in the life of our church and also moderating session meetings recently. So, Harry, thank you for all you've done for our worshiping community and our folks this morning. Glad to have you back. We will be having communion by intention this morning, so when the time comes for that, you will be invited to come partake of the elements at one of the stations that are posted. If you have mobility concerns at all, please remain seated. We will bring the elements to you. Just kind of give us a little raise of the hand or a nod so that the servers know where to come and provide the elements of communion to you. With that, let us pause, take a breath as we contemplate and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our entire beings to worship our great God together.
Please join me in the call to worship printed in the bulletin. Arise, shine.
God's light has come to reveal the way, and this is too near.
Arise, shine.
The glory of the Lord has risen upon us.
Arise, shine.
God's light penetrates the darkness that covers the world.
Arise, shine.
Nations shall come to God's light, and kings to the brightness of God's dawn.
Let us arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon us.
Oh,
I'd like to invite the children forward. Freya, this way. Freya, this way. Good morning, everybody. How are we today? We have an excellent group up here. So, does anyone know the part of our Christmas story about the wise men? What can we tell? Anyone? Anything about that story at all?
The wise men saw the star above where Jesus was, and they all went to go see him and brought him gifts.
Fabulous. Thank you, Caitlin. Anyone else? So the wise men followed a star, and that gave plenty of light. And today we begin the season of Epiphany. Now, does anyone know what Epiphany is? Oh, yeah? What do you know about Epiphany?
It's something under the ocean.
Something under the ocean? Not quite. Anyone else? What's Epiphany? So the actual definition of Epiphany is a sudden and profound understanding of something. But Epiphany would be like, you know, someone's looking for their lost keys and suddenly they have an idea. And they might know where the keys are. That could be an epiphany. And in the church, it's a Christian celebration, and it's actually on January 6th, but this is the closest Sunday to it. So we're going to start celebrating it today. And it remembers when the wise men first saw Jesus. In this season of the church year, we're going to read scripture stories about the life of Jesus and think about how God's being in the world brings us light. So I know God sends us star-like people in our lives to help show us the ways of Jesus. These people care about us, they tell us about how they see Jesus' life, and they help us know how to love one another and other people, things like that. Can you think of anyone who's a star for you? Who's a star for you in your life?
Nathan!
Nathan? Why is Nathan a star for you? Why is he a star for you?
Because I love him.
Love is a wonderful thing. That's a great answer. And how do these people that are stars in your life help show you about Jesus? Anyone, what do they do to help show you about Jesus? Yes.
I think they help you know that Jesus loves you?
That's a wonderful answer. So they help show that we're all loved. So I have a bunch of stars for you today, and I'm going to give a star to each of you. And I have markers, and I'm going to let you write a letter or someone's name on them or draw a picture thinking of someone who's a star in your life. And if that person is here today, you can give the star to them. If they're not here, you can send it in the mail. Or if maybe they've died and gone to heaven already, you can just keep that star for yourself and keep it in your room where it's special. If they're not here today, yeah, you can save it and give it to them later. So I'm going to pass out these stars, and you can all grab a marker, and we're going to do that for the next minute. Okay. Thank you. So stars in our lives help us to remember about Jesus, and they help us to be stars for other people too. We always have the light of Christ with us in so many ways, so these stars can help you remember one way and one person today and this week, whether you take it home or you give it to someone here in this church.
Move the bubble box.
No, thank you, not right now. Okay, so while you finish up your writing, we're going to end with a prayer, so please repeat after me. Dear Jesus, you were born to show us the way of love.
Of love.
We thank you.
We thank you.
For the lights of the stars.
For the lights of the stars.
In the sky.
In the sky.
And for the light of the people.
For the light of the people.
Who are stars for us.
Who are stars for us.
Amen. All right, you guys can go to your classes. Thank you.
The first reading of the word this morning is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Thank you.
and everyone join them. For the reading of the gospel, I love the custom of standing, so get used to it. I'll be here for a few more weeks, messing up with whatever is going on. And by the way, I want Everett here for the sermon. I want that responsive young lad here. Reading from the Gospel according to John, first chapter, beginning at verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of a man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A baby is cute for only so long. If a baby doesn't grow and mature, we know that something is wrong. Babies are meant to grow and mature. Today is the 12th day of Christmas. Yay! This is the 12th day. It doesn't happen every year that it's on a Sunday. This is just one of those years in which it happened. This is the 12th day. And tomorrow is Epiphany. And you are correct and have all of your Christmas greens up. Don't take them out yet. I'll confess, in my house, I yielded to some pressure from my wife yesterday and took the tree out. But I kept it on the deck where I can see it. And we kept everything else up because it's still Christmas. But the needles are gone. At least most of them. I think we'll find more today. The 12th day of Christmas. There's something about the Sundays after the holidays that I really love. I love the Sundays that are the holidays. I love Easter. I love the fourth Sunday of Advent. I love the first Sunday of Christmas. I love Christmas Eve. I love how all those people come out. But then the Sunday after, there's something really honest about. You're here because you want to be here. I love this Sunday. Epiphany. Revelation. The gift of the Messiah is not just for little Bethlehem, but is for the whole world. When the Magi come, we need to remember those Magi were mysterious pagans, probably Persians, modern-day Iranians. Think about that today. Who came all that way with those strange, impractical gifts. And by the way, they didn't go to the manger. I'm sorry to tell you, the star was never over the manger. It was over a house. This was sometime later. And when they got to Jesus, he was no longer a little baby.
He was already growing. He was a toddler. The word that Matthew uses in Matthew 2 is very clearly not the word for a little baby, but for a toddler. He was growing. He was maturing. And when the Magi got there, the shepherds were gone. Who knows where the manger was at that point? Epiphany, the light shining for the whole world. And these pagan astrologers coming hundreds of miles with these strange gifts for a little child. If our faith is like a baby that never grows, it's not healthy. Babies are cute for a while, and then they grow and try us and delight us as they grow and mature. And so it should be with our faith, ever growing and maturing. And of course, that best happens through trials and struggles. And this story is all about that. The last time I was here was a few months ago on a Sunday morning. And I have to tell you that I've preached all through Advent, the first Sunday of Christmas, at three churches. So today marks four churches in these six Sundays. I'm getting to do the finale right here. So I'm going to do a little bit of a review. Greatest hits of Advent. It begins with travel, with journeying. Mary and Joseph are going to travel nearly 100 miles from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. A fairly tortured journey, especially with a woman expecting a baby. And then there's that 5-mile trip from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to present at the temple, and then back to Bethlehem, back to that house. I think they must have rented a house in Bethlehem. And then the angel tells Joseph, now get Mary and the child and go to Egypt, another continent. Africa. Go to Egypt to escape Herod's wrath. A couple hundred miles. And stay there until I give you your next order. Jesus spent a part of his childhood in Africa. But Joseph, back. But not to Bethlehem this time. Though Herod was gone, his son was now the king, Archelaus, and he was as bad as Herod. Go all the way back to Nazareth, where Joseph, maybe your carpenter shop is still waiting for you. When you total all these miles, Mary and Joseph traveled the better part of 1,000 miles, and it was all non-motorized travel. No planes, trains, or automobiles for them, and often through dangerous zones. I wonder if they had frequent flyer cards. And then the Magi, probably 1,000-mile round trip. Oh my. It's all about travel. I began Advent 5 weeks ago. I can actually tell you, I was driving to where I preached the first Sunday of Advent, and it was Saturday night. They have a Saturday night service also. And I can tell you right where I was on 390 when I was just overwhelmed to pray for a birth mother, for a woman carrying a baby, a woman whose name I do not know, whose circumstances I do not know, and whose location I do not know. But I knew that my younger daughter and her husband, my son by marriage, had begun the adoption process and told us to pray for a birth mother. And there I was driving alone on 390 on Saturday in the dark, just fighting back tears, praying for a birth mother. And as Advent went on, I found myself praying for birth mothers everywhere, for women carrying babies in the best of circumstances and the worst of circumstances, praying for birth mothers around the world, knowing that one of them is carrying my next grandchild. Just before Advent was over, my daughter and son by marriage had a long conversation with a birth mother in Florida. And the next day, she said, "You're the ones. I want you to be the parents of my baby." That baby is due in about 2.5 months. Now, my daughter and son by marriage are living halfway around the world in Southeast Asia right now. They're preparing for a 12,000-mile trip in March. And my wife and I are preparing for a 1,200-mile trip to meet together because of a baby, because of a prayer answered. Travel. This story is all about travel. I suppose Jesus had the longest journey from the courts of heaven to little Bethlehem. Now let me ask you, how is your journey? Are you moving? Can you identify movement in your life? Spiritual journeying? Because a baby that doesn't grow and mature does not stay cute. Babies are meant to grow and mature. And so it is with this Jesus who's already growing and maturing. And now we come to John's Gospel, the first chapter. This is the most amazing cosmic perspective on Christmas. No mention of Mary or Joseph. No mention of Bethlehem. No mention of a manger. No mention of a star. No mention of the Magi. None of the things that we need to have a good nativity set or a good Christmas pageant. But with utter simplicity, here's how John tells the story. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is utterly unable to put that light out." That's how John tells Christmas. Light shining in the darkness. The Word arrived in our midst. We live in a world in which there is still much darkness. While we know the light is winning, the darkness is unmistakable. In our world right now, there's something like 65 million displaced peoples looking for home, for safe haven. About 28 million of them are political refugees. In our world right now, about 14 million people are close to death from starvation in Yemen, which many of us couldn't pinpoint on a map. In our own nation, about 40,000 people die every year from gun violence, whether homicide, suicide, or accidental. Over 60,000 people in our nation die every year from drug addiction and drug abuse. In our nation, there are about 38 million people living in poverty in our nation, and about 12 million of them are below the age of 18 in our nation. Meanwhile, the 500 wealthiest people in the world in 2019 gained about $1.2 trillion in wealth. There's darkness in the world. The gap between the wealthy and the rest seems to be widening, and it's troubling. And in the Rochester School District, there's a financial crisis. that is putting vulnerable children in a place of greater vulnerability. And yet, the light is shining. For all that is wrong in our world, there are more third world women getting education than ever before. While some children are dying of starvation and preventable illnesses, the number is smaller every year. There are people holding the light in our world, making a difference in providing education and health for the needy. The light is shining. And though the darkness at times, to borrow from that old Longfellow hymn, though the darkness at times seems to be winning, it is not winning, because the light has come and the light is shining, and the darkness cannot put it out. The light is shining. We end Christmas today and mark Epiphany tomorrow. So whatever tomorrow holds for you, whether you have a day job or school or are at home in some way, just know that tomorrow celebrates that Jesus has come for the whole world, not just for little Bethlehem and not just for us, but for the whole world. Remember that tomorrow and celebrate this light that is shining for all people. The first week of Advent, I took my wife on a date. We rarely go to first-run movies. We kind of wait for Netflix or the cheap theater. But I really wanted to see a movie that had just come out. So, Rachel, let's go to a movie. And we went and saw a movie that had just come out. Now, that's just kind of exciting in my household because we don't do that very often. And I'd read about this movie, and I knew I needed to see it. So the first Thursday of Advent, in the afternoon, we went and saw a new movie about a star. We went and saw A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. I'm too old to have been a child watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but I watched it over the shoulders of my daughters. After Sesame Street was done, which got them all stimulated, then came on this interesting man, Fred Rogers, whose sets were less than dazzling, and whose personal style was just so simple and humble, but who spoke through that TV screen right to my daughters and told them that they were special. He guided them through life. He talked to them about what to do when you're mad and when you're sad and when you're happy. Have you seen the movie yet? It's still around. If you're like me, you'll need tissues, because this isn't just about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. It's about a hardened, skeptical reporter for Esquire magazine who really, 21 years ago, was assigned to write a story for Esquire magazine about this Mr. Rogers and said to the editor, "Why in the world are you giving me this story?" She said, "I think you need it." First Sunday of the new year, how are we doing with resolutions? See, it's important for many to make some resolutions, knowing that by the end of February, we will have forgotten them and they will have died in the dust, as they tend to every year. So a few years ago, a friend of mine gently challenged me, instead of resolutions, to name one word as a theme I would carry for the year. I tried that. And I liked it. I wrote it all over the front page of my journal. I keep a journal every year. Wrote it all over in different ways. And so now I'm doing that every year. So what will be my word for 2020? You see? Well, that was a pun that you didn't get. 2020. See? Okay. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay because you're so captivated that you can't slow down. So what will my word for 2020 be? It came to me on a Thursday, the first Thursday in Advent. The word came. My word is going to be neighborhood. I want to pay attention to my neighborhood. I want to be like Mr. Rogers, paying attention to the people in my neighborhood. I mean, after all, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I want to take Jesus seriously when he talks about loving God and loving neighbor. And of course, knowing about Jesus means my neighborhood is the world. And it's also the street I live on in Henrietta. And it's the world. And I begin to see that my own neighborhood in Henrietta is a bit of a microcosm of the world. In my own neighborhood of 26 homes, we have people from Southeast Asia, Africa, Latin America, young, old. In my neighborhood, I want to live with a sense of neighborhood. Now, that word that I see as the culminating word in John 1, verse 14, and the word became flesh and lived among us, dwelt among us. There's a wonderful translation of it from my favorite paraphrase of the Bible, The Message. And in The Message, Eugene Peterson rendered John 1:14 in this way. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. The eternal Word of the Father became one of us. So fully flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. So there's no neighborhood on this planet that hasn't been touched by the heavens because Jesus came not just to Bethlehem, but to every neighborhood to shine the light of God. I want to be a better neighbor and to live as a neighbor to everyone God puts in my path. So we begin putting away Christmas. It's been a great season. And as I do every year, I turn to a poem by Howard Thurman, written sometime earlier in the 20th century. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes have gone home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoners, to make peace among peoples, to rebuild the nations, to make music in the heart. Merry Christmas, Gates Presbyterian Church. I need Everett now. Merry Christmas, Gates Presbyterian Church.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Gates! Merry Christmas, Rochester! Merry Christmas, New York! Merry Christmas, United States! Merry Christmas, North America! Merry Christmas, planet Earth! Because the light has come, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. Merry Christmas, Jesus. This is my first time presiding at the Lord's table in your midst. So if I get anything out of order, it's okay. It's okay. This is the table of the Lord. This is not the table of the Gates Presbyterian Church. This is the table of Jesus. And to this table, all followers of Jesus are invited. Wherever you are on your journey, including first step, you are invited to this table. This is an open table. This is a welcoming table. This is not an in-group table. This is for the people of God. So I invite you to come to the table of the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, gracious God, for this table of nurture and nourishment by which we grow and mature in faith. Be pleased by your Spirit to be vitally present in these simple gifts. To the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Together, holy, 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 God our God, heaven and earth behold your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest. And so we come to this table humbly receiving that which God has graciously provided in Christ by the Holy Spirit for us and for the whole church on earth in all of its streams and traditions. Let us say together the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. witness to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever. And so now we take these simple gifts and consecrate them to God's purposes. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. Saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it, remembering me." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim our Lord's death until he comes again. Will the servers please come join me at the table? There are three stations. We invite you to come as you are ready in your time, but come, don't let anything keep you from this table, to take a piece of the bread, to dip it in the cup, and to partake of the body and blood of Jesus. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. People will come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at table in the kingdom. Let us come to the table. Let us pray. We thank you, gracious God, for the simple gifts of this table by which you spiritually grow and mature us. Send us from this table to love neighbor as we love you, to love neighbor as we would love ourselves, to be your people, holding the light and sharing the light in all the world through the one who is that light, our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. I've scattered stuff all over here. Remember, those are my shoes. As we go to prayer today, we are aware of the death yesterday of Bonnie Beckett. We commend her to God's eternal care and keeping. We are aware of birthdays among us, of the return to school, from our children, of playing with a sister and praying at nighttime. We are aware of the needs of the world. Please join me as we lift our world to God. God of wonders, angelic voices, stars, magi, frightened people, we thank you how you have shared the light of the universe with us in Jesus, and how that light shines. And oh, we pray for that light to shine ever brighter on this planet. We pray for the world to which Jesus came as we confess that much is still not right, the tensions that exist between Israeli and Palestinian, the wildfires in Australia, and the heightened tension between Iran and our government. We pray for the world. We pray for our nation. Lord, we are grieved by acts of violence toward Jews, toward people of color, toward people that are different. We pray for those who work to shine your light in those places of darkness. We lift our government to you, our president, our Congress, the Supreme Court, especially knowing that we are at a momentous time in our nation. We pray that our elected and appointed political leaders will serve with humility and wisdom. We pray for your church, O Lord, your global church, Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestant, your church. We pray for the Presbytery of Genesee Valley. And we pray for this congregation, for the designated pastor nominating committee, for the family of Ione Crosdale, and the family of Bonnie Beckett. May your peace and comfort abound for those that grieve in their brokenness. May they experience your comfort and your consolation. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Having received so richly, let us respond in generous giving. Let us worship God with our tithes and offerings.
bounty is overwhelming. Use these gifts we return from that bounty to further your work among those less fortunate than ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And now we sing that great Epiphany hymn. We three kings, even though we didn't know we don't know they were three, they were probably a whole bunch. Add a verse. In a few moments, there's going to be a gathering for those interested in becoming members of this congregation in the adult lounge, which I think is right over there. So if you're planning on that, or if you want to join us, just a few moments, come over there. We'll see you there. Now we go from this place back into the neighborhood, in the hood. We go back into the neighborhood, listening for angels, looking for Jesus, loving God and loving neighbor, where the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot put it out. the Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood. Let us go with Jesus. Amen.